Oh, yeah, a little bit of the Beatles. I do want to hold your hand, but I can't reach out into the airwaves and grab it. So you'll just have to listen to it. By the way, I want to thank Big Ed. Don't give him the credit he deserves. He always picks out our music. It's great music, I think. But he goes into our files and he finds good songs. And maybe songs we don't always like, but he plays them and we enjoy them and we want to thank him for it. Good morning. Welcome. I am Paul Molloy. It is Freedom Works. It is Wednesday, June the 29th, and along with Big Ed, we thank you for joining us. By the way, we want to wish Linda Molloy a very happy birthday today. I will not reveal her age in deference to a woman, but it is her birthday, and I wish her, and our group wishes her, a very happy birthday. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute on his contention that the Biden administration is doubling down on a Ukraine strategy that is not working. We will find out what he means and what he thinks should be the strategy. So stay tuned for that in a few minutes. And it looks like Donald Trump may still have endorsement power despite all this relentless attack on him on the January 6th so-called insurrection. We will talk about some of the victories for his endorsed candidates, along with some other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And why does the media so dislike Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? Have you noticed how they despise him? Have you ever heard any kind of good word about a black man that picked himself up by the bootstraps and ended up becoming a Supreme Court justice? Not Clarence Thomas. You'll not hear that. We're going to take a look at why that is a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, I debated on this one, Ed, about whether or not we should do it, to be honest with you. But we're going to give you the top 10 celebrities you may not know were either gay or bisexual. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you want the best hair? I often wonder when you're in the hot, long, hot dog days of summer like we are in, does your hair grow faster? Remember you used to, when you were a kid, did you ever hear that? Your beard and your hair and everything grows quicker when it's hot outside? I have to ask Andrew that, whether or not that is true. But he is the guy to know when it comes to the best haircut in the Tampa Bay area, for my money. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call first for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. And don't forget to listen to the Senior Voice America radio show. It precedes our program. In fact, it's on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger and Company, always do a wonderful show. All right, so we got a lot going on today. You may not have heard, but in the long run, this becomes a very important thing. NATO has formally invited Finland and Sweden to become members of their alliance. Did you know that? Today. Finland and Sweden. Now think about it. How close are they to Russia in terms of geography, right? Here's the quote. Today we have decided to invite Finland and Sweden to become members of NATO and agreed to sign accession protocols. In any accession to the alliance, it is of vital importance that the legitimate security concern of allies are properly addressed. Now, why do you think these two are joining NATO right now? Because you got a rogue leader in Russia that you don't know when he's going to attack you. That's why. So now they're under the umbrella of NATO. Now, you know the Ukraine wants to join. Of course, that's a very delicate situation. And it's kind of like saying, hey, now that we're in the middle of a war, can we please come in and join with you? So anyway, in the long run, this is going to be very intriguing. I mean, a lot of the stuff that Putin is doing is backfiring on him, right? Look how many Russian soldiers have been killed. Of course, we're going to talk more about the Russian strategy in a few minutes with George Beebe. In the meantime, I don't know, this January 6th thing, two Secret Service agents are prepared to testify that then President Trump did not lunge at the steering wheel or assault them when he was in the beast, you know, the presidential limo, and wanted to go to the Capitol building during the January 6th riot. Now, Cassidy Hutchinson, who was a former aide to Mark Meadows, and Mark Meadows was Trump's White House chief of staff at one point. He went through a lot of people, didn't he, Trump, now that I think about it? He went through a whole bunch.
Biden's going through people.
Yeah, he
so
is.
So is Kamala Harris.
Well, Kamala Harris isn't going through people. People are leaving.
Well,
they're just zipping out the back door and going, goodbye. But you're right. All of them have. You know what? It comes with the territory.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. Anyway, so the new allegations by this Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, she wasn't there in the limo. This is called hearsay. Do you know that it absolutely would never be allowed in a courtroom?
So Judge Judy always says,
toss it out.
It's hearsay. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. Unless you were there to see it.
Yep.
Or you were there to hear it.
Yep.
No way. So, I mean, first of all, I don't think, even if he did, say, hey, you know, and lunge forward from the back seat. Although, think about how big that limo is.
Well,
you have to lunge a long way to get to the chauffeur.
That, not enough you've seen a partition window, but it's not very wide.
He'd have to put his fist through the window.
Well, no, the window could roll down, but Trump's a big man. What he's going to get his head through and maybe mess up his hair a little bit, maybe to about his shoulders, which is nowhere near the steering wheel.
This is so stupid.
Before, I thought she said he was up front, which I don't know of any president that rides shotgun in the limo.
Can I ride in the front, Mr. Limo Driver? When I was a taxi driver, I've had a long and scurrilous career. When I was a taxi driver, some people did want to sit in the front.
Yeah.
They just like to sit in the front.
But my question is
but I don't think the president is allowed to do that.
What do they always do? What's the first thing they do before somebody testifies? They take the oath, right?
Yeah, they're supposed
to tell the truth.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah,
they
blah,
do.
Blah, blah.
Yes. They
does it really
hand.
Matter? Because nobody's going to cross-examine you.
Correct.
Nobody's going to dispute you.
Correct. In a trial, you have two sides.
Right.
You have two lawyers. No, this is not. This is theater. I don't even like to, you know, I debated about talking about this because I didn't want to focus attention on it. So that's all we're going to talk about right now as far as this thing.
Yeah, they're not going to bring in the limo drivers. I mean the Secret
they
Service.
Should. Why not?
They're not going to.
They'll look bad if they don't.
Well, they don't care.
Maybe you're right.
They won't bring them in.
I won't argue. You may be right about that. And that'll just further show that this is so one-sided that it doesn't deserve mention. It doesn't deserve mention. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute about the Biden administration's Ukraine policy and how it ain't working.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And we are delighted to have George Beebe join us. George is the Director of Grand Strategy. I love that title. At the Quincy Institute. Knows a lot about what is going on over in the Russia-Ukraine area and in Europe. And George, welcome back, first of all. But, you know, I want to get, if I might, just because this is a kind of breaking news, the fact that NATO leaders have formally now invited Finland and Sweden to become NATO members. How does that bode, if at all, in the Ukraine situation, George?
Well, Paul, thanks for having me, first
of
all. When it comes to Sweden and Finland joining NATO, I don't think it affects the situation vis-a-vis Ukraine at all. It doesn't materially change the picture on the battlefield in Ukraine. And it's really of secondary importance in that particular war. What this really is about is NATO's broader purpose in Europe. And I'm not sure it actually helps in that regard. It probably makes things a little bit worse. And it certainly doesn't make the U.S. more secure, which is, I think, the standard that we ought to apply in asking ourselves what kind of policies we ought to support. Americans are not safer if Sweden and Finland come into the alliance. In fact, I would argue we're probably a little worse off.
Really?
And go into the reasons why. Sure. Well, look, when this war first started, the Biden administration told a story. And the story was that unless the United States expands NATO, brings Ukraine into the alliance and Georgia and others, that Russia will be appeased, just like Hitler in World War II. And then this will unleash aggression from Russia, and Russia will start kicking over the dominoes. It'll take Ukraine, then it'll take the Baltic states, and then Poland, and pretty soon they'll be in London and Paris. And the fact is, that was always false. And if anybody has any doubts about that, look at the troubles that the Russian military has had in capturing even small parts of a country right on its border. The notion that the Russians are a threat to invade NATO countries has been shown to be false. In fact, what's going on here is we have an escalatory dynamic where the Russians are concerned that NATO's movement toward their borders actually poses a security threat to them. And so we've been doing things that actually increase the risks of instability in Europe, not decrease them. And the biggest threat that the Russians pose, and I'm not denying that they pose a threat, but the biggest threat they pose is nuclear. And what's going to happen with Sweden and Finland coming into the alliance is the Russians are going to look at this and say, we don't have a hope of matching this enormous alliance's resources and conventional military capabilities. So we're going to have to rely on what we do have, which is nuclear weapons.
That's kind of a scary scenario.
Right.
Yeah.
We're heading toward a situation where that's what's going to happen in Europe, and the United States comes out of that less secure, not more.
By the way, I want to mention, George, you are a former director of the Russia analysis for the CIA, so you do know what you're talking about. Let me ask you this, though, about Putin. A lot of people think he wants to annex other countries. Do you think he only wants to annex the Ukraine and be done with it? I mean, what's the point there? What does he not have imperialistic ambitions?
Well, I think he has nationalistic ambitions. He wants to make Russia great again. He thinks that, you know, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, something happened to Russia that has hurt Russia as a state. You know, they lost not so much territory, but an awful lot of Russians found themselves outside the borders of Russia. You know, they were in old Soviet republics that suddenly became independent, and they feel like their rights in these states have not been respected. But also, Russia feels like, you know, it has to be an influential power in Europe, or it will be vulnerable to invasion and meddling in its internal affairs by other countries. So he thinks that's a situation that has to change. Now, that's not so much imperialist as it is, you know, nationalist. Now, will he want to annex other countries? He didn't do it in Georgia in 2008. You know, Georgia attacked separatist parts of Georgia that had declared independence, and in so doing, you know, killed some Russian peacekeepers there. The Russians counterattacked, and their forces, you know, made quick work of the Georgians back in 2008. They could have proceeded all the way to the Georgian capital and taken over that country. They chose not to do that, and they didn't annex those separatist parts of Georgia at the time. They simply recognized them as independent entities. So I think that should tell us a little bit about just how interested Putin is in annexing other countries. Now, will he do that in Ukraine? I don't know. He may feel at this point that he's got no choice but to do that. But he actually was attacked from his political right inside Russia for years for not recognizing the independence of separatist republics in Ukraine's Donbass region. There are a lot of hard right Russian nationalists that thought that Putin was being too soft in not doing that. So, you know, we think of Putin as this imperialist sort of, you know, on the extremes within the Russian political spectrum. He's actually, in the context of Russian politics, been fairly centrist on this. So, you know, I don't think that the Russians think this war is fundamentally about acquiring territory. I think they believe it's about defending their borders against NATO's encroachment.
We're talking with George Beebe. He is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute now. He's a former director of the CIA Russia Analysis. He was also a staff advisor to Dick Cheney as vice president. You got a good resume, I must say, George. I got to ask you this. If what you say is true and Putin is just kind of collecting an area that used to be part of Russia, why didn't he kind of stop after they got the Crimea? Because that's where most of the Russian sympathizers in the Ukraine were. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it more a smattering of Russian sympathizers maybe in the eastern edge of what is now the Ukraine? Or, in other words, let's say he goes halfway through the country and he just takes that half and says, look, I'm done here, guys. You know, I don't know. I don't need the western half of the Ukraine. These are the people that really are Russia people, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably where they're going to wind up in all of this. We're going to wind up with some sort of partition of Ukraine. And what's happened in Ukraine's eastern regions in the Donbass, those were largely Russian speaking, culturally Russian parts of Ukraine. And there was a lot of sympathy for Russia and Putin there. But over time, I think the Russians, because of their brutality, have alienated an awful lot of what otherwise would have been rather sympathetic Russian speakers in that part of Ukraine. So they've got themselves a problem in that part of the world, even if they end up, you know, taking territory and either recognizing it as independent or annexing it, governing that over time is not going to be easy because of everything that's gone down.
Let's take a look now at the Biden policy. One of the things they have been doing is economic sanctions. And as you know, George, Russia has defaulted on its foreign currency sovereign debt for the first time in over a century. They failed to make two payments over the weekend. Tell me a little bit about Biden and his failed policy in the Ukraine, if you would.
Well, from the very start, we have held out economic sanctions as a coercive tool that could have a deterrent effect on the Russians. The idea was that, you know, if we show them that the pain that they will have to endure as a result of attacking Ukraine is so great that it outweighs the benefits, they'll make a rational choice here and say, you know, it's just not worth it. Let's not go there. So in the run-up to this war, you know, late last year, as the Russians were massing forces near the Ukrainian border, the Biden administration sort of laid out for the Russians, you know, here are the economic sanctions that are going to be coming your way if you do this, in the hope that it would deter them. Well, it didn't, obviously. And then the Biden administration changed its explanation. You know, shortly after the invasion, Biden said, well, we really weren't expecting economic sanctions to stay the Russians' hand. This is something that will have a cumulative effect over time. Well, over time, what we've seen is that the Russians have been coping relatively well with these sanctions. You know, the ruble is stronger than it was prior to the invasion. Russia is continuing to earn substantial revenues from energy exports, even though it is not exporting as much to Europe, which was its primary energy customer. Energy prices in the world have gone up. You know, energy markets react to scarcity. And as supplies have dwindled, the price has gone up.
Yeah.
So he's actually earning just about the same amount of money from energy exports that he was prior to these sanctions.
What there, if I might ask you this, George, if you were Joe Biden and Ukraine was attacked by Russia, what would you do? How would you handle this as far as the United States goes?
Well, first of all, I think this war was avoidable. We did not have to be in the situation that we're in. The Russians said, going into this, you know, let's have an understanding here that Ukraine will be neither ours nor yours, that it will be neutral, not a part of the NATO alliance and not a host to U.S. or West European military forces. And the United States said, no, we won't take that deal. And once we said no to that, I think at that point, the likelihood of war went way, way up. But that's not where we needed to be. Now, once war began, then I think absolutely the United States had to provide Ukraine with the ability to repel the Russian offensive, which we did, and rightly so. We made sure that Russia could not resubjugate Ukraine, that it could not capture the capital, install some sort of puppet regime there, and return Ukraine to its orbit. Having done that, however, the temptation that we have been facing is to say, great, you know, we've stymied the Russian offensive. Now let's win this. Now let's defeat the Russians, drive their forces out of Ukraine, weaken the Russian military, weaken its economy to the point where it can't be a disruptive force in the world ever again. Now, the problem with that, which I will call mission creep, is that those latter goals are completely unrealistic and dangerous to pursue. Russia remains the world's largest nuclear power. There's simply no way that they're going to sit by idly and allow themselves to lose on the battlefield in Ukraine, to be driven back home. They would use nuclear weapons before they would countenance that kind of outcome. So what I think we have to do at this point, having succeeded in the first part of this war in stymieing Russian ambition, is to use our leverage to try to steer this toward a settlement, one that's good for Ukraine, good for Europe, and good for the United States. Right now, we're not doing that. Right now, the Biden administration is essentially saying, you know, we're not the drivers on this. The Ukrainians are. Whatever they want to do, we will support. You know, to me, that's not leadership. It's not putting American interests first. It's outsourcing our foreign policy decisions, things that are critically important to American security and prosperity, to another country. And I don't think that's something we should be doing.
George, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You have such a great analysis of what is going on over there. It's such a sticky wicket at this point. And we all, you know, pray, especially for those Ukrainians, those innocent people. I thank you, George. Look forward to our next chat.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
All right, sir. George Beebe. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, it looks like Donald Trump may still have some endorsement power despite being attacked relentlessly on that January 6th so-called insurrection. We're going to talk about all that with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, back at you here on FreedomWorks on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, so there were a bunch of primaries going on last night. Let's take a look at some of them. Trump-backed Darren Bailey wins the Republican gubernatorial primary in Illinois. He's going to face off in the general election with the current governor, a Democrat, J.B. Pritzker. That's going to be an interesting race, very interesting race. Bailey, one of a half dozen candidates in the primary. It also included a guy by the name of Richard Irvin. He's the mayor of Aurora, Illinois. It's a western suburb. Decent-sized western suburb. And his campaign, Irvin's campaign, was boosted by millions in support from a billionaire conservative. And yet, Darren Bailey was able to win. So, to some extent, I think Donald Trump can deserve some credit there. And how about in New York? Congressman Lee Zeldin won the New York State's Republican gubernatorial nomination. He's a four-term lawmaker. He topped a field that included Rob Astorino, who is the former Westchester County executive, and also 2014 GOP gubernatorial nominee Andrew Giuliani, who served in Trump's administration and is the son of Rudy Giuliani. So I guess in that particular case, Andrew may have been, it doesn't say that, but I'm guessing Andrew may have been backed, Andrew Giuliani, by Donald Trump. Anyway, we got that. We got, you know, Donald Trump, Andrew, is off. He manages to stay right in the news, right at the top of the news. I think he gets more coverage these days than Joe Biden.
There's no question about that. We got nothing to talk about with Joe Biden.
No.
He's screwing everything up.
He is. He's over there in Europe, kind of stumbling all over himself right now, is he not? Somewhere there.
I hope he doesn't go bike riding there.
No, my God, he might fall off the Alps or something off his bicycle.
He's getting ready for the Tour de France.
So Donald Trump, and then we talked earlier, don't know if you heard it, two Secret Service agents that were riding inside the limousine. Did you know that they, this woman testified that Trump lunged at the driver, Secret Service people saying, I want to go to the Capitol building. get me to the Capitol building, and he's lunging and swinging. It sounds like he's just a crazed man inside the beast, the limo. Turns out these two Secret Service agents say, we want to testify, that never happened.
That's right.
It's crazy.
But they won't let him, will they?
That's what I'm wondering. We were wondering about that, whether or not...
They're not going to let them testify.
It'll be a real sham if they do not.
People already know that it's a sham, Paul. However, there's a lot of stupid people.
Yeah, you're right about that as well.
Period.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this in general. The media, which, you know, mainstream media, I don't know of anybody that they have disliked more. I mean, in all these years that I can think of, I thought they disliked Richard Nixon. It was a love affair with Nixon compared to what they... the feelings they have for Donald Trump.
Well, you got to realize the three main media networks are liberal stations.
Yes, they are.
They're run by liberals.
But why is there such hate? It goes back to before Trump was even running, don't you think? Because he was somebody that was known. He comes from New York, you know, the marketing capital of the world. And he was a big, you know, and he had a big ego. So The dislike was already there before he even got into politics.
Well, you know, Paul, maybe people didn't really get to know the guy. It's just what they heard.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, people stereotype people big time. Myself, for instance, I'm stereotyped all the time.
Yeah.
People take my appearance. They take the way that I talk. They think I'm just an Italian from New York.
Okay. Well, your appearance is positive. I don't know. They take that as a positive.
Okay, you know, but I would like to know how many people really know me to know what I just did for an elderly gentleman.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? Honestly, I was just going to ask you that. Because I know that he's in his last days. Tell us about your Korean War vet.
He passed away Monday.
He did, all right.
Monday evening at 8:50.
Well, God love him.
Peacefully. And I took care of him very proudly for 26 months, Paul.
Yeah, you were amazing.
Every morning and every evening. This is why I'm telling people, don't stereotype people.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
Donald Trump did a lot of great things for this country, and he's still doing great things. He's trying to keep in line the satanic administration that we have in office right now. And he's doing his best to keep it in line. So we'll see what happens in November.
I think... as I said, it seems like overall his endorsements, those people are winning. And he's still got some punch. Now, the question is, I mean, we've got the two guys that ran for president in 2020. In 2024, there's question marks under both of them, right?
Yeah, sure.
You just don't know. I mean, Biden is apparently getting upset that people are even bringing up the fact that he might not run. As in, why wouldn't I run again, you know? But the people around him, the people around him are throwing those rumors out for discussion.
First of all, the guy's got a problem walking, let alone running.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly... we all know he's controlled by Obama with his Democrat Party. This guy's nothing but a puppet. And for the stupid people that are out there to still back these people, they must be happy paying $5 a gallon for gas. They must be happy with 9% inflation. They must be happy with open borders. Look at what happened in Texas the other day. 50 people died.
It was horrible.
Being trapped. But you know, Paul, who's to blame? Joe Biden. He's to blame. He's letting this all happen. Because if they weren't coming here thinking that there's going to be open arms and you're going to get money and you're going to, they wouldn't be trying to come.
Yeah.
Like when Trump was president, they didn't try to come.
Yeah, now they use that as an excuse to say, see, who was it, their press secretary, I always forget her name, she's got a hyphenated name, but the new press secretary replacing Jen Psaki was saying, see, this is a proof. They have to crawl into a big van. If we had open borders, they'd just come across. But no, they got to hide and blah, 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 blah. And she's trying to make it sound like because we don't have open borders that this happened. Yeah, it's so crazy. And yet, all you have to do is go down there and see certain areas where they just walk across.
Well, look at the fentanyl they got.
The other thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you people happy this is going on in your country? This makes you happy? everything that I've talked about makes you happy, you need to get on the Dr. Phil show and get your head examined.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a tsunami. I've said it a lot in November. And I don't think Roe versus Wade.
You got nothing to do with
this Roe versus Wade thing. That's not going to be, in my opinion, a big deal. It's when you're paying almost $6 or $5.50 or whatever at the gas pump. Go ahead.
A simple explanation for everything. Say you get in trouble and you got to go in front of a judge, and the judge knows you got money. And putting you in jail, that ain't going to bother you. But you know what? When they give you a hefty fine, they hit you in your pocket. That bothers you. Okay, this administration, Paul, they could do whatever they want. They're doing one thing wrong. They're hitting everybody in their pocket, period.
Mm-hmm.
You start hitting people in their pocket, they can't afford gas, they can't afford food, they can't afford clothes. Guess what? They don't like you. They could care less about abortion. They can care less about January 6th.
You got to eat first, don't you? You got to survive first.
That's right. That's not affecting their pocket, Paul.
No, you're right.
The Democrats are affecting their pocket, and that's their main destruction right there.
I can't think of a time where we had both a problem with gas and a food shortage.
Oh, come on. The latest this morning, I'm listening to the news, there's a shortage on condiments for the 4th of July.
Wow. By the way, I wonder how much it costs for, you know, getting all the hamburgers and hot dogs. I'll bet it's about 25-30% higher than it was last year for 4th of July, don't you think?
I think I'm going to get 2 full burgers, and I'm going to drink non-alcoholic beer on the 4th of July. No shortage on any of that.
That's good. That's good. Anything else you want to talk about? What's going on with the local elections?
Paul, I'll find out more tonight. I've been out of the circuit for 2 weeks, you know.
Sure, taking care of your friend.
My buddy Jim, and
I'll find out more
tonight because I'm going to a rally for Kevin Haslett, and we'll see what's going on there.
Good old Kevin Haslett, yes. Please,
I'm going there with Ron DeSantis' father because Ron DeSantis' father endorses him very highly.
Well, that's great. Now, again, for people that don't know, Andrew is very close to the DeSantis family, knowing the father. The father comes into the barbershop all the time. By the way, you guys, when you go to get your haircut, you might see the governor's father just kind of amble in with his two little dogs, because he does that from time to time.
He does it almost every day.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man. Now, in closing, I want to salute you again for the guardian angel work you did on behalf of that Korean War veteran. You took care of him for over 2 years. God love you. God bless you. And that guy, he owed you those 26 months, I think, because you just kept him going.
He was a great guy. Him and I bonded like you wouldn't believe in that time.
Well.
But he's in a better place now, right?
So yeah. Well, again.
I'm happy with that. Now it's going to take me time to get adjusted again.
Indeed. Well, my prayers are for him and for you. And again, thank you so much, Andrew. We will talk again, God willing, on Friday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Yeah, he's... I'll tell you what, I've known that even before he did this about Andrew. Some of the things he did for his neighbors, he doesn't talk about it, but I found out about it. He will go and literally give you the shirt off his back. There are people like that. He happens to be one of them. All right. Let us take our final break for the show. When we come back, why does the media so hate Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? You ever get that opinion from the mainstream media on that poor guy? We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you for listening. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the superlative Tan Talk Radio Network. It's been a pleasure working with Big Ed all these years. But if you cannot listen live, you can listen on podcast. Ed puts all our shows on podcast, so it's real easy. And maybe you want to hear the show again. Heck, many of our shows are pearls of wisdom, are they not? So just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows lined up. Last show at the top, all the way down. You can see who the guest is and the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, I remember when Clarence Thomas, by the way, Joe Biden, I think head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, when Clarence Thomas was running, or whatever the word is, you know, had been nominated, I guess, was nominated to the Supreme Court. There was this woman that worked for Clarence Thomas that came in, and she was brought in by the Democrats, and she started making these insinuations about Clarence Thomas and his sexual proclivities and all that kind of a thing. In other words, you know, we don't want this kind of guy on the court. And it was the most...
I remember her, yeah.
Yeah, Anita Hill.
Anita Hill.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And if you remember, when she was talking, he didn't do any groping or, you know, none of, you know. She was talking about a couple of comments he made. And the funny thing was that after these alleged comments were made, and it hadn't anything to do with, you know, anyway, she went ahead and continued to follow him in other jobs. Mm-hmm. So that always struck me as, well, if you felt uncomfortable with Clarence Thomas, why did you continue to seek out working with him? Anyway.
I'm wondering, where's Black Lives Matter?
Right. How about the NAACP?
He's the only black justice on the court.
He is right now, yep.
He's the only one?
And he's only the second.
Because if it were the other way around and the conservatives were trying to get him out, they would be dropping the race card.
Exactly. So he's been a subject of sharp attacks throughout his tenure. Now his opinion that concurs with the majority, this 5-4 majority that overturned Roe versus Wade, has really got his critics whipped into a frenzy. And you can go on. And as an example, the liberal Samuel L. Jackson, you know, the Hollywood mm-hmm. actor. By the way, he's appeared in more movies than anybody in the world. You ever notice that? He's in everything. He called Justice Thomas Uncle Clarence, as in Uncle Tom, in a tweet over the weekend, echoing the same slur that Joy Reid of MSNBC used 2 years ago. Howard Stern, you know, the shock jock, mm-hmm. he called Thomas, quote, a lightweight, who, quote, was sitting there like Darth Vader, dormant, waiting for other kooks to join the Supreme Court. They go after him as an Uncle Tom. They go after him as not being that intelligent. And like you said, if this was a liberal justice and the conservative people talked like that about him, can you imagine how the mainstream media would come down on those people for their criticism. It would be unbelievable, unbelievable. In 1994 on PBS, there was a commentator, Julianne Malveaux. And she said this, "I hope his wife feeds him lots of eggs and butter and he dies early, like many black men do of heart disease." Now, come on. By the way, she's a black woman, Julianne Malveaux.
I guess that gives her a free pass.
Exactly, exactly. She eventually apologized. He's been compared to the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, right.
He's black.
A black man. Yeah, he's going to be riding on
next
a horse
thing you're gonna say
with a white sheet over.
He's a white supremacist, too.
Exactly. Here's Michael Eric Dyson. He's a longtime MSNBC guy. He said in 2015 that he believed more black people support Rachel Dolezal over Justice Thomas. Dolezal is a former college instructor who gained infamy for presenting herself as a black woman despite the fact that she was white. So,
see what happens when you don't go along with what these people want?
Yeah.
You will be run through the mud.
Yeah. It is so hypocritical. It's absolutely so hypocritical. Okay. Before we get, we have a very interesting, I must say, I debated whether we should do this, and top 10 celebrities you may not know are either gay or bisexual. But before we do that, you know, hockey is over. Now we can turn our complete attention to our beloved Tampa Bay Rays baseball team. And I know you're a big baseball fan. In fact, if I were to guess,
after last night, I'm actually convinced now that Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, is the Tony Dungy of baseball.
Oh, that could be a positive.
No.
It's not a positive.
Tony Dungy was a great coach. Players liked him, but he didn't have what it took to get them over the top. And then that's why
he won a Super Bowl.
You or I could have won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning at quarterback.
Okay.
And let me prove that to you.
Sure.
Who was the head coach in Denver when they went out there?
Oh, tell me again.
John Fox.
Okay.
You know who he is? He's washed out with every other NFL.
So in other words, it was strictly Peyton Manning. It's kind of, would you
Tony
say,
Dungy was brought in there to work the defense and
keep
his hands off.
Do you think Tom Brady
off.
Has the same effect that he could go anywhere?
No. No, I think Tom Brady's a little bit different. I think he's a little bit different. But back to, you know, in the bottom of the sixth, we had a pitcher, Boz, that was just mowing him over, knocking him down. And, of course, that pitch count gets up there. What does Cash do with two outs
That's
left
the
in
manager,
the bottom of the sixth?
Kevin Cash.
He pulls his pitcher out because of the pitch count. Next guy comes in, first pitch, bam, home run. Next player up. Single. Okay. Next player up. Bam. Two-run home run. Now, we went from one winning 1-0 to 4-0. 4-1.
Kevin Cash has never been forgiven in the series for pulling that pitcher that he did pull.
No, I know.
Where everything fell apart after that. So, I guess every time something like this happens now, we revert back
he's
to
that. He's admitted he's lost sleep over that.
So, I guess he's not your favorite manager of all time.
It frustrates me. He keeps going back to that. Yeah, this kid's 22 years old. You're really worried about his pitch count?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Okay, time for our top 10, Ed. I know you're. I love talking with you about sports because you get very much energetic in this. I want to see what. You know, can you be gay and bisexual at the same time? I would say yes. Right? In other words, if you have a predilection.
Well, you are gay if you're bisexual. Sorry.
Yeah.
If
you can be. I always thought, okay, if you're gay, you're completely only a homosexual.
No.
But maybe not.
No.
Okay, fair enough, because we got both in here, all right? Top 10. Here we go.
Some people can visit both addresses.
Yeah. I'm going to name one right now. Number 10. Marlon Brando.
Really? I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Marlon Brando once told his biographer, quote, "Like a large number of men, I too have had homosexual experiences, and I am not ashamed. I have never paid much attention to what people think about me." So there you go, Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. Oh. Number 9, Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Are you surprised?
No.
Before her untimely death, she was in the news for a variety of things. No surprise. Word of her bisexuality might have slipped under the radar. Number 8, Angelina Jolie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm. Actor and director Angelina Jolie has been openly LGBTQ for so long that some folks might have forgotten about it. Mm. When asked if she was bisexual in 2003, she said, quote, of course. All right, number seven. Lady Gaga. Did you know that?
That kind of figures, yeah.
Okay. With her open-minded performance style, provocative lyrics, massive LGBTQ fan base, not terribly shocking. Number six, Gillian Anderson. Would you have known that?
Don't know.
X-Files star.
Okay.
Okay. I don't watch the X-Files, but she said she's previously engaged in same-sex relationships, open to doing so again. Number five, Richard Pryor, the comedian.
I didn't know, really.
Yeah, see, I told you. A lot of people did not know this. According to music legend Quincy Jones, one of Marlon Brando's alleged homosexual trysts was with Richard Pryor in the 1970s.
Well, Richard did a lot of drugs.
That visual, really, I don't know. There's something about that visual that I just don't want to think
Richard
about.
Richard Pryor did a lot of drugs back then.
Well, he said, yeah. In fact, his own wife, Jennifer Lee, said that, well, I won't say it exactly, but let me put it this way. If it could walk and breathe, he might jump on it, okay? All right, number four. Billy Joe Armstrong. You know him?
No.
Billy Joe Armstrong went mainstream in 94 as the frontman to rock band Green Day, but while he's no stranger to headlines, not widely known, he'd been openly bisexual since 1995. Number three. Drew Barrymore. I've always considered myself bisexual. I love a woman's body. I think a woman and a woman together, beautiful. All right, number two. Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, came out in 2014. All right, number one. Miley Cyrus. Did you know that?
Oh, she annoys me.
She announced in 2015 she was gender fluid. All right, there you go. Very good. Thank you so very much for listening and watching and whatever you did. We will be back on Friday. Do remember that freedom works.